Yesterday we have a discussion, little discussion about Sanya, conditioned from my question about how memory works. My concern was when the reality, there is a citta arising and it experience a reality and it falls away immediately, then how memory works. It was my question yesterday, and we had a little bit discussion about the role of Sanya. So we would like a chance to have some more comments about it today, please.
Citta arises and falls away with Sanya.
Yeah. Together. So Sanya falls away already. So
together
what is
citta?
Yes. What leaves back so that we have memory about things?
There is not just one citta arising and falling away and then finish. It's not like that. It conditions the next moment, citta and jetsika together, arising again, but not the same citta which has fallen away. So sanya is there with each citta.
The first sanya will condition the next moment of citta.
Yeah, citta and cetasika, which has fallen away, condition the arising of the next one.
Yes.
Immediately.
And so it is, it conditions the next one. The next one will be reflecting or similar to the first one. Then this is how the...
Depending on conditions.
Yes.
Which condition will Sanya use within the thought process to go from one citta to the next citta? Which of the 24 conditions?
What conditions the next moment after the previous one has fallen away?
No. That is, I am asking not just for the next moment to arise, but for Sanya to allow the same object to be taken by the next citta. Which are the conditions? Which are the 24 conditions?
Anantarapachaya
and
Pakatupanisya.
Anantarapachaya is what one conditions the next.
Right.
And where Sanya marks the same object again. Anantarapachaya as well, whereby
the one citta conditions the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And Paktupanisyapachaya is where Sanya marks the same object
not.
That it's accumulated to mark from the past. So like at lunchtime.
Okay.
So why ice cream and not fruit?
So within one thought process, it is those two, the sequential and the Pakatupanisya, natural decisive support, that allows one citta to condition the next and for Sanya to condition the next. Have I understood correctly? And then there is going to be a gap with Bhavanga before another thought process, whether it could, this one may be a mind door, and here must be just the Pakatupanisya that from the previous that allows the continuity. So it's not just continuity, but it is the Pakatupanisya that the continuity is within the same process, but then carrying over between processes, it is Pakatupanisya. So therefore, I think, if I understand correctly, to answer your question about memory, one must study carefully the Pakatupanisya, natural decisive support condition. Have I understood correctly?
Your question in particular is about successive moments of citta taking the same object. Or is that right?
First within the same... First, within a thought process, subsequent moments of citta taking the same object, but then, of course, after that, seeing process is over, or thinking process is over, there's going to be a gap, bhavanga. And so no longer can the continuity process work, because it's not, because...
But it's there in each citta. No matter what citta, bhavanga or not bhavanga.
And so what you are saying is that the continuity process, the one after the other, yes, that will cause one citta to arise after the other.
And the pakatu panisya pachya
only refers to the kusala and akusala cittas that are accumulated. So you can't say that after bhavanga cittas, then say there's an idle process now and the sanya at the moment of seeing is conditioned by pakatu panisya pachya.
It conditions all 89, not just that particular condition.
The accumulations, the accumulated
right.
Kusala and akusala.
Because the sanya that arises
with seeing, for example, is vipaka citta, so it's conditioned by the karma that conditions seeing.
So for each citta,
one has to be quite precise. So the contiguity, the nantrapachya, conditions each citta, each moment of sanya arising of each citta. But the Pakatu Upanisya Pachya refers to the Kusala and Akusala cittas arising.
Are you... Okay, so let's separate it into two. The contiguity, where one after another, irrespective of the type of citta, that condition will happen continuously. But that does not reference the object. It just makes sure that there's one citta following another. Right? Correct?
Right.
So now we're going to talk about memory. Right? Which is the object. And we can look at it from a microscopic scale, from one citta to the next. And then, of course, there's the macroscopic scale, the big, I remember yesterday, and so on, that kind of big picture. But let's just...
The memory loss we were talking
memory
about.
Loss, yeah, that's the big picture. But let's just talk about the small picture first, okay? So what you are saying, if I understand correctly, is that we'll start within one sense process, the 17 door, right? 17 thought moment. Pratyupasanaya, natural decisive support, allows for continuity of... Or sorry, not allows for the same object to be marked and then remembered by sanya from one citta to the next. Correct? Have I understood correctly?
It depends which cittas and which sanyas we're referring to.
The cittas that arise in a process arise in that process by virtue of the fixed laws.
Right.
So then the sanya arises with every citta.
Right. Okay. So we are in the seeing process. There is the eye consciousness, citta. And it takes a visible form as object. The next citta. Now we are at the receiving consciousness.
Right. Also vipaka citta.
Yeah. Receiving consciousness. Okay. Also vipaka, but it's a receiving consciousness. It must also take that visible form as object. And it must, through sanya, remember that this is the object to be taken. Because at that moment, we are now a mind consciousness. Sorry, mind element, not mind consciousness element. We're mind element, right? We're no longer at the sense door. We're now at the. We're not no longer at the sense base, eye base. We're now a mind element, citta. And so there must
but
be
Sanya doesn't remember that it has to take the object. The citta takes the object by virtue of the process. So Sanya just marks the object.
Okay, so Sanya's marked the object in the I consciousness.
And now marks whatever is the object of the citta.
Right. So it's the visible form.
Right.
So, and now that specific citta has finished. The next, through contiguity and also from the niyama, the citta niyama, the next one coming up is this receiving consciousness, right? How does it know to take the same object? Because it must know, and what you have suggested, it knows through Paktupisnaya.
No.
So I've not understood correctly.
No.
So how does that particular citta, the receiving consciousness,
know to take the same object?
I don't think it knows
to take the same object, but it does because of the fixed order of things.
It's also a result of karma.
No, the object is
okay. So the visible object
that is experienced by seeing consciousness and the two following cheetahs, all the result of karma. So because of past karma, there are conditions for that experiencing of the object through the sense door process. So it's karma that has conditioned seeing and those two following conditions, along with anantara paccaya and other paccayas. And then only after then two more vipaka cheetahs, and then one more cheetah, and then the seven kusala or akusala cheetahs, which are conditioned by pakatu upanisya paccaya. So depending on previous accumulations, there is then attachment to the object or aversion or ignorance of that object. And for the arahat, no attachment or aversion. So that is by the accumulated tendency.
How come, at least from what I've read in the about the natural decisive support, the condition state is all 89, not just the Javana Chittas. All 89 are influenced, are the condition state of Patkusinaya, natural decisive support. All 89, not just the consciousness. Am I correct that?
Shall we talk about just at one citta at the moment?
Okay.
For example, at this moment of seeing, there must be seven jetasikas arising. One is sanya, which is not the other jetasika, and it marks the object. That's all, and it falls away with citta and other jitasikas, mm-hmm. and there are conditions for the next citta to arise, and sanya marks again. That's all. It always marks the object which citta experiences.
Okay. Marking, I understand.
Okay. Just that. At any moment citta arises, sanya marks, no matter what. Even the vipaka, akusala or akusala, it doesn't matter. It marks whenever it arises.
It marks, but then it also recognizes the mark.
Okay, if that is that, the object is that which has been experienced before. So sanya, at that moment, marks, so it remembers. But we talk about each citta with each sanya. Only that, citta is the main or the faculty of experiencing an object, while sanya just marks. Or remember any moment when it arises, no matter when, and no matter whether it's vipaka or kusala or kriya, it marks, that's it.
I fear that we're moving away from your question. and so I want to give you a chance to ask again.
That is our thought about from here to there, from this moment to other moment. Yes. But if we talk about the characteristic or the function of citta and jetasikas, this jetasika sanya cannot do anything. It's not the faculty of experiencing. It cannot see, But whenever, whatever appears to any moment, it marks, that's all.
So in the chitta process...
Talk about just one moment of chitta, okay? Which one?
When there is an object that we see, seeing, for example, then the object will imprint to the eye sense. Okay. So we...
By intention or by what?
By condition.
What condition?
The imprints, I think it is karma.
The aramana paccaya only.
Yes. So when the citta process starts.
The first one.
The first one is the bhavanga.
Is the sanya.
Each moment.
Yeah.
And at that moment, what sanya remembers or marks?
Just marks.
What objects?
The visual object.
No. Not yet.
So it is the first citta, it is the...
You're talking about pavanga, right? Or
yes.
What? Pavanga. There is sanya with it. And what is it? Sanya's object?
With pavanga, there is a sanya as well.
Any moment, anyone. There must be sanya.
Yes.
And what
so
is the object which
it
sanya
is the
marks?
Same object with the cue. With the kuchichita.
And bhavanga and hati sanchita. Kuchichita not yet come.
Yeah. No, it is the same as the first, the rebirth. Yes.
So, then, after that?
After that, it is the upachita. Chita.
Bhavanga.
Bhavanga.
What is the object of sanya which arises with bhavanga?
It is with bhavanga. It is the same with the rebirths.
Okay, it marks already. Whenever it arises, it marks. So
it marks, but actually the memory doesn't start from then.
We are talking about the function of sanya. It cannot do anything. Only marking or remembering.
Yes.
At any time when it arises, no matter what citta and the object is.
So even in deep sleep,
when it seems like there's no memory of anything, conventionally speaking, still at each moment of deep sleep, sanya is marking the object. It's arising with those bhavanga cittas marking the object, even though there's no recollection afterwards of anything experience, but actually it's arising and marking at each of those moments. So it's quite different from the conventional idea of memory as we were chatting about yesterday.
So it works every time, every moment.
And then after
those three bhavanga cittas, and then there's the sensed or averting consciousness.
Yes.
The Panchadwara Vajana Chitta. So then it experiences visible object if it's the idol process. So at that moment sanya marks the visible object, and all the chittas through that process mark the visible object. Even when it's just the moments that are result. It's still marking, sanya, still marking.
Can the adverting consciousness see?
Adverting consciousness?
Can it see?
No, seeing is seeing. Mm.
But sanya marks, see. What? Not visible object. Because... Yes, we can say it's an object which is not seen. Yeah, but it marks. Yeah, only that much.
And the same with all the other cheetahs in the process after seeing, they're marking the visible object, even though they're not seeing it.
Is that because the visible object is still there?
Yes. But only seeing can see it. Yes. See.
So the adverting consciousness marks this visible object.
Without seeing.
Which hasn't been seen yet.
Yep.
Let's move back a couple of cheetahs. We're now in the Bhavanga cheetah that is vibrating.
Uh-huh. What object is there?
The object is clearly the
Patasandhi.
Right? Mm-hmm. However, it's vibrating. It's somehow reacting to the fact that there is a visible object or some other object, an audible object, that there is a object out there to be processed.
Can it have two objects?
Cannot have two objects. So, the object of that vibrating bhavanga is the same as the Patasandhi citta,
right.
But somehow it's a little different from the previous, the past bhavanga, because this one is vibrating, it is aware somehow.
Going to,
yes.
Not
so, what is the...
Is the object impinged on the sense door?
Yeah, the object is impinged on the sense door, and through what condition does that object impinging on the sense door impact the Bhavanga Chitta? Because the Bhavanga Chitta has been impacted.
Doorway.
Hmm?
Doorway. Without doorway, there cannot be impact.
Okay. It is vibrating. Okay. Perhaps impacting is the wrong word, but it is vibrating. It is, I guess to use an analogy, it's hearing a knock on one of the six doors, and it's going to go answer.
Here.
I'm using an analogy.
That's
here.
Bhavanga.
It's not here. It's Bhavanga.
Bhavanga.
It's Bhavanga. Yeah. But somehow,
His question is, what conditions the Bhavanga to vibrate?
If it's not time to condition Vibhaga to see, Bhavanga has to go on.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? If it's not time
for a karma to produce the seeing or hearing at that moment, the Bhavanga has to go on being Bhavanga.
So it is a vipaka condition? No,
Bhavanga,
it's a karma condition?
Bhavanga is vipaka.
Yes.
Chitta and chetasikas must be pratyaya by being vipaka pratyaya.
So the
many visible objects impinge on eye sense, but if there are no conditions, if karma doesn't condition seeing to experience that visible object, instead of that being, that Bhavanga Chitta being vibrating Bhavanga Chitta, it's followed by many, many more Bhavanga Chittas. So it's just Bhavanga Chitta. But and in this case, it just means that it's not next but one to the averting consciousness to experience visible object. If there are no conditions for karma to condition seeing, it's just more Bhavanga Chittas. So it's exactly the same as any other Bhavanga Chitta.
I understand that, yes, it's got the... It's the exact same as any other Bhavanga Chitta. But it is karma condition which makes this the next to last one?
It's not karma condition, it's not karma pachaya, but it's karma pachupana. There's a pachaya and there's a pachupana. So vipaka is the pachupana of karma pachaya.
Right. So
that's what karma conditions it.
Yeah, karma conditions it.
Yeah, but it's not karma condition.
Conditions it.
So karma conditions it. How does karma condition it without it being karma pachaya?
This is the same question as what conditions seeing to arise. Because otherwise it's just Bhavanga Chitta. So what conditions the experiencing of objects through the sense door.
I'm sorry, I think we're again digressing from your question. I'm so sorry.
So if a sanya arises and marks the thing and it falls away and another moment comes, it arises again, the memory works actually by itself and we cannot intend to do anything about it. For example, I'm thinking is if one object appears, for example, in order that we can the memory can work, in the case that the object has to exist through the its life of 17 chittas, process of chittas, but if sanya appears every moment of chitta, that means every 17 moments of chittas, then is it the condition for the memory to work or no?
The sanya that arises
with a chitta is conditioned by, in the same way that the chitta is conditioned. So, for example, a moment of seeing now is accompanied by sanya and other chitta seekers. And seeing now is conditioned by karma. So the sanya and the other chitta seekers arising with that seeing are also conditioned by karma. If the chitta is kusala chitta now, the kusala chitta is accumulated. Why is there understanding now? Because of previous accumulations of understanding. So the sanya that is marking the object, which is the same as the kusala chitta, that sanya is arising because of accumulations. So it's conditioned in just the same way that the chitta and the other chitta seekers it arises together with are conditioned. And in addition, they all condition each other.
So in order to remember this Dhamma talk, for example, about what Achan often says about Dhamma, we can create the condition that we come to hear the Dhamma constantly.
So what Dhamma is this we that creates conditions?
So actually this is the only reason we start
discussing these details very carefully, like Bhavanga chitta, sense door averting chitta, sanya arising by this or that cause, is in order to see that there really are only dhammas. There are just those dhammas that experience an object now, like hearing and thinking, and those dhammas that are experienced, such as the sound. And the reason we discuss the details more and more finely is to see that actually there is no self who can create no conditions. There is no memory store as we think of it. There is no person sitting here. There is no cup of tea. So this is the point. So no one who can do anything. Only chitta, chetasika and rupa.
I think that the Rob's question about, like it
says about Paktu Upanisya Pachya conditioning 89 cheetahs, I think that it's because, can we say, even when karma brings its result, it needs support. So actually, it needs the support of Paktu Upanisya Pachya also. Can we say this, Ajahn? So it has to be supported.
Even though the main cause, the main condition
for seeing is karma, but without the support of other conditions such as Pakadupanisya Pache, it couldn't bring its result.
If one citta is missing, where about all the accumulation and citta and jetasikas?
What
If only one citta is missing, what about those which has been accumulated? Mm-hmm. That's why it conditions each moment.
Ajahn, sanya marks an object, and then subsequently...
Excuse me, if we don't use the word sanya, what about marking and memory now?
Remembering. Can use that too.
Yeah.
Okay, sanya...
If we don't use this word, sanya, what about marking and remembering right now?
Can use...
It's a reality.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, sanya marks an object now, and then later... A similar object arises, and sanya marks that object again.
It has marked, it can be just remembering.
Okay, that's where I was going with it. It has marked it, so in that case, it would remember it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got one function with two parts. Thank you.
And on the point you raised before, like in the
sensed or process, because it has to experience exactly the same object as the citta. So because the visible object is the object of all those cittas in the sensed or process, so sanya has to mark that visible object with every single citta in the process, because it always experiences the same object.
Yes, I'm talking about, though, subsequently another... visible object arises, which would not be the same visible object, because the first one has fallen away. And sanya, this is probably more in the mind door process, remembers that object because of its similarities to the previous object I spoke of. Is that correct?
Well, like you said, because there's that...
double thing of marking and remembering. So it is marking and remembering at every single moment.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's why, like we were talking about with the nimitta, because it's not one visible object that's experienced, but many visible objects. And because of sanya, marking and remembering each visible object, that's the reason why there is the sign or the nimitta.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why
if it was just one, then it wouldn't be possible.
That's why we're thinking of Sarah and the cup and everything else, right?
Just like today I had a nap, and during that time I had a dream. And so right after I woke up, that was remembered. But now I cannot say what I dreamt about. So, like you said, at every moment there must be sanya marking and remembering at the same time, but when there are no conditions for thinking about or like that object to be remembered again, to be the object of the citta again, then we say there's no memory of that. Yeah. So it's really just by condition.
But sanya marks each moment.
Each moment, see.
Marks each moment, but you're talking about... Well, there would need to be conditions
for subsequent remembering of that object.
Yes, and like without each citta, because usually we when we talk about conventional memory, we think about like thinking about something. So during the dream, we can say that even though it's like now, but we can say it's very passive state.
Mm-hmm.
But even though during that time there's no intention to remember anything, but still sanya is working its way, marking and remembering each moment. So that's why right after that there can be remembering what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
But like also it's conditioned. So now even if there's the intention to remember, but there's no, it cannot be become the object of the citta now.
Right, because we cannot control that. We cannot recall it at will, so to speak.
Yeah, usually when we try to remember something, we don't. But suddenly when, by condition, we remember what we, maybe the day before we were trying to remember. But that's another instance of trying. It's useless. Even trying to remember is not much use.
Is there sanya now? Yes. Can it be directly understood?
It's possible. Not by me now, no. Can it be directly understood?
Not at will.
Not at will, and only with very high levels of banya.
Because what appears now, see, sanya or citta or rupa, it marks.
It marks, but unless
but
there's
no understanding, right. That which marks as right. The self.
When some people experience memory loss, I'm talking.
But there must be sanya with citta.
Yes, I'm speaking conventionally here, and I guess I'm looking at diseases that sometimes occur as people age.
Can we say that that moment is moha mula citta with utajja only?
Which moment, Ajahn? Which moment?
That which you just talked about.
Not being able to remember. Mm-hmm.
Even sanya is there, but moha is there too.
Moha is there too. And utaccha is
restlessness. Loss of memory wouldn't occur in an arahata.
Sorry, Tam, what did you say?
So loss of memory wouldn't occur in an arahata.
What do you mean by that?
Yes, because no moha, so an arahata would never have what we call loss of memory.
But there would be impossible to remember everything sanya has marked. So I think it's just a conventional way of putting it about memory loss. Because when we talk about, even when we talk about memory loss, like not remembering a name or something, as we discussed, so many different cheetahs. But no moha, I agree.
I see no reason why, if an arahat suffered degeneration of the brain cells, that he couldn't have loss of memory in the conventional sense. But it wouldn't be accompanied by moha.
Non-arahata has the loss of brain cells, so to speak. Is that loss of memory?
What citta is there?
Well, there's still seeing, hearing, etc. There are still the sense processes. But sometimes there would still be marking, and yet there is not remembering. So that may be moha.
Actually, there's still sanya, so there's each moment. So there's still marking, remembering
exactly.
Each moment.
There's still marking and remembering, but okay, conventionally, I guess I'm trying to get too deeply into trying to describe, you know, for some, it's no longer a cup, it's a key. So that's a memory. Sanya is remembering in a way that it didn't before the loss
marking
of brains.
Different objects.
Before marking. Sorry, Sarah, did you say marking different objects?
It's not calling it a key, I don't think is anything to do with marking the object, because he doesn't think he can open a door with that. It just has the wrong name for it.
You may.
diseases as it does.
Perhaps we are facing a challenge because we're using the word memory in two contexts. As a Chittasika, Sanya marks and remembers the object as it continues on. That is what I meant earlier by a microscopic at a citta level. But then memory loss,
conventionally,
as a conventional term, is something much broader than sanya. We could even talk about a nation's collective memory at an even broader level. And so we're using the same word, and perhaps that's creating some confusion, that we're trying to relate this very broad conventional term of remembering somebody's face from yesterday or remembering what happened last year, perhaps loss of memory, with the very microscopic sanya, which is moment to moment marking and remembering for continuity's purpose, to make sure that there is a flow of an object within a process. The bigger process, yes, it must be made up of countless smaller processes. And at least if we were to try and grasp or try to grab something that we could relate to for the bigger process, I would say go back to natural decisive support condition, the strong experience in the past can influence the reaction in the future at a broader level. And therefore, the strong impression from today's talk, the ideas that came from today's talk, could condition at a very... I'm at the macroscopic level. I'm not at the citta level. Could condition tomorrow remembering, just as when Khun Su Chin was... She talked for a few minutes, and I just zeroed in on panya conditions detachment. That's the one thing I really remember. I'm sorry, I can't remember the rest that you said in that. But... and I'm hoping to get a copy that I can listen back. But that was the one thing that I remembered in the conventional sense. However, there was, at every moment, there was sanya, the perception. So it's the bigger process.
After sanya marks, there's thinking about what has been marked. And I think it's in the thinking about that these aberrations occur, not in the marking. So it's a question of, if you want to go further, what conditions that kind of thinking about things that have been marked.
And what conditions the thinking is the defilements and Pratipisnaya through, I mean, that's what conditions the way that the thinking progresses from a conditions level.
And by looking at point of looking at how there are only kusala, kusala, vipaka, kiriya, cittas, each one marked by sanya, is to show that what we talk about and what you call the macro level loss of memory or confusion are actually just different cittas, and actually at each moment there is the marking of the object. And even in someone who conventionally we say has memory loss, there are sanya marking different objects, suddenly sometimes getting the name right, sometimes getting the name wrong, but different moments of seeing and hearing, different kinds of thinking accumulated, as you say, and each citta different. So I think it helps a lot to really be precise and understand more about the Dharma, so that there is no person or big memory loss as we see it, and in order to understand they are just conditioned dharmas arising and falling away.
Actually, I just think that my attachment is to the term that sanya arises every moment of citta, even to the people of lost memory. So the condition of remembering things is just caused by condition. And even when we try to remember, or somebody try to remember, they cannot, like they say, that it only comes by condition. So it is the way that sanya works.
We're used to being able to think about things in a certain way. So if we want to think of a person's name, we're used to the thinking responding to that. But there are times when, because thinking is not self, we can't think of things in the way we'd like to. So, and that's why I think there's also thinking that can take, you know, a cup for a key or vice versa. So it's, I would say it's more to do with thinking than with sanya.
Is there a sanya when
you think?
Yes, there is sanya when you think. The sanya takes the object that is thought of. So if the object is a blank, as it were, can't think of the name, then sanya marks that.
So it is the situation of the people who lost memory, that when they think the object is blank, is what you mean?
No, there has to be an object, but it's not the one that they would want it to be.
So it's the other thing.
Yeah, something.
So there is some mix up then.
Yes.
And caused by.
Well, I suppose it gets back to Ajahn mentioned ignorance. But when you say caused by, what allows us to think of what we want to think of? Now, I don't know the answer to that, but because the thinking isn't working in the way we would expect it to, we call it memory loss. But that's a conventional term for it. Because we would like to think of a particular name, and the name doesn't come to mind. But that's all thinking. That's a function of thinking. So it's a function of what we call conventional memory, but not sanya jetasika.
Microscopic, macroscopic, right?
What's the Pali for?
With that. I mean,
like now.
Well, you mean to do A, but you do B instead. I don't think it's
forget
that unusual.
The names of our friends here.
Where did I put such and such, or put salt in your tea instead of sugar, or something? I don't know. It can happen to anyone, anytime.
Conditions.
Actually, that being confused, for me personally, was a very important moment, because I remember many years ago, actually it was in a conversation in Hong Kong with Sarah and John, I was confused. And then the thought arose, hey, did I choose to be confused at this moment? No. Confusion arose naturally because of conditions. I don't know what those conditions were, but confusion arose naturally. Not because I wanted it, but conditions. So the next thought was, if confusion just arises naturally, how can I say that some thinking arises naturally and other is controlled? It can't be. It's all natural. So my personal experience many years ago was that the experience of confusion was a direct eye-opener for me about anatta, that I didn't choose to be confused. So thank you for confusing me.
It was a question about anatta, right?
Yeah, it was about anatta, I remember that too.
We're used to thinking that thinking can be controlled, that we're in control of thinking, but that's just an illusion, really. Thinking normally pans out in the way we expect it to. And that's what gives the illusion of there being control. But it's all happening by conditions.
And Quintan?
I just want to hear your explanation again about the function of sanya, because it plays a function of marking and remembering, or sometimes it's mark, sometimes it's remember, or both happens at this one moment of citta.
It arises and falls away in split seconds.
Yes.
So, it's only thinking about the function of sanya, but no understanding of that which is sanya yet. So it's only thinking and thinking and thinking. By then we don't have to try to know the function of sanya. Just that is the self which remembers. Like now, or any time. At this moment it's you. That is sanya. But sanya does not appear at all. And without sanya there cannot be any thinking of anything. Or citta cannot arise either. So we are in darkness, talking about what are there, not seeing anyone at all. As long as there is no understanding about the difference between right awareness and no awareness at all. I mean at level of satipatthana or sati sampajanya.
I think we get lost in the words marking and remembering, or marking or remembering. And Ajahn always stresses not to attach too much to the words, but we, little by little we may know the characteristic at this moment, and then we don't need to think so much about the words.
As soon as there is thinking about something, if right understanding is there, it knows that without sanya, there cannot be such thinking. Is that not enough? Or we try to think whether the function of marking or function of remembering?
Yeah, I think I was going to say the same. I think it's enough to know that
there is sanya, there is mental factor arising at every moment, performing its function, and without this mental factor, impossible to have any idea of who is who, or recognize anything, or comprehend the words spoken, or anything else. So it's a very important factor, and this is why it's its own khanda, because we place a lot of importance on it. So impossible to follow any of our activities in the day without sanya. And so to know that it is a mental factor arising at each moment, not self, nothing to do with a conventional idea of memory, I think it's enough.
Otherwise it's kind of trying to work it out, or
trying to find it, or look for it, or...
I'd like to get back to just before
we finished this morning. We were talking a little bit about metta and metta meditation and radiating metta and characteristic of metta. And yesterday evening when we were having the discussion, you were talking about practicing metta meditation, so that it becomes habitual in the mind and then arises more naturally. Would you like to say a little bit more about your idea of metta and metta meditation?
Not so that it becomes habitual. no intention of I'm sitting here so that metta becomes habitual. Sitting, radiating metta, having metta in the mind, naturally conditions the mind so that when triggers happen, the mind reacts or thinks. I mean, at a gross level, I remember a few years ago, I was driving home after a meditation session, stopped at the light. The lady behind me thought the light had changed. Bang, into my back. Okay, I got out of my car, she got out of her car, went back. I looked at her with a big smile on my face and said, no damage, no problem, have a wonderful day. Now, it's true. Now, if it had been another day when I'd been having an argument with my boss or with my wife or something, and she bangs me, I get out and I scold her. Why? Why were those conditions different? And the answer is that because I'd been sitting for an hour practicing metta, the mind was, it wasn't because I wanted it to, the mind naturally flowed to a have a wonderful day.
She thought a meditation break, my lucky day.
Yeah, yeah. She was really surprised, let me tell you. And so this is what I am saying is it has been my, what I've observed is that sitting for a time radiating metta reinforces the habit naturally. It trains the mind naturally so that when triggers happen, I mean, stuff's going to happen all the time. There's going to be unfortunate incidents happening all the time. And after the sense object comes in, there's the thinking, which is, as we talked about earlier, conditioned by defilements or conditioned by the Aktupisnaya, natural decisive support condition. And in that particular case, the mind naturally flowed to metta. Doing a period of time of metta each day softens the mind naturally. And the purpose of doing this is not so that I have a soft mind. It's not that I'm saying, I think I want a soft mind, I'm going to practice metta. If I'm craving metta, I get craving, not metta. It happens naturally. And why do I do it? It is a sense of duty and responsibility that I feel that it is the right thing that should be done. And so with this meditation practice or just reflecting upon metta, the mind naturally changes.
I'm just wondering about your idea of metta, because as I see it, metta doesn't mean that if we have an accident, we have to say, oh, no damage.
Right.
So maybe you were thinking, if I've really got metta, I should just wave this.
No, no, it happened naturally. It happened naturally. I mean,
like now.
I practiced metta earlier.
Like now.
Today.
Now.
And because of that, when I'm in the hot spot here, there is the way that the mind reacts is different from if I'd had a really bad day and not slept.
John's shaking her head.
She's like saying that. No. She's saying no. You don't agree with me?
No. My question is whether you can have metta only when you are alone, sitting quietly.
Okay. Of course not.
Of course not. So that
of
can be metta
not.
Right now.
All right. Now, let's... There obviously can be metta right now. And I'm going to extend this to Vipassana meditation because it's related. I'm driving along.
No, now.
And okay.
I just want to understand metta develops now when you talk about meditation or have metta develop. Alone for sometimes, right? In the room or dark room or but wherever.
Wherever,
so it can be now.
It can be now.
So metta can develop now.
Metta can develop now.
Mm-hmm.
The
when there's understanding of metta only.
Okay, that's what we were talking about this morning, with or without understanding. But let's talk about then understanding. Through most of the day, I'm driving, I'm talking, I'm eating, all these daily activities.
With or without metta?
Oh, no. Okay. With or without understanding, and these are without understanding.
I'm talking about metta.
Okay,
about
we'll stick to metta then. Without metta at that moment.
Panya knows that.
No.
If not, who knows?
When you asked, with metta, no metta, then Panya...
Panya is here?
Nah, I moved my hand, okay. Panya is, when you ask the question, with or without metta, then only with that trigger is there a moment of understanding of the mind and...
You say moment of understanding the mind, right?
Moment of internal reflection, moment of understanding.
Understanding the mind or what?
Understanding the current mental state. Because you asked, it was your trigger that asked me, metta now or not? And that shook. So, okay, let me check. And at this moment, the mind was distracted and with other...
Akusala?
Probably. I think it was, yes. Yeah. In fact, it was akusala.
John's asking, do we know metta when it arises?
Can we know metta when it arises now?
Well, two questions. I think she's asking, does metta arise naturally in situations like this? And can it be known when it arises?
Yes.
Is it known when it arises?
Sometimes. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Can it be known? Yes, it can be known.
And so it can be developed if it arises. Because if it's known when it arises, then it's being developed.
And what I'm still trying to get my head around is the implication that without understanding, metta cannot be developed. What we talked about earlier is that it could be accumulated because there's more and more metta, but it can't be developed.
By conditions or by developing?
This is what I would like to understand is the difference between more and more metta accumulates more metta. Metta accumulates more metta, but without doesn't need understanding for it to accumulate.
Can metta arise by conditions, accumulation, which is not the development of metta, because it's conditioned by previous accumulation?
Yes.
But when one says that one is developing metta, there must be right understanding for any kind of development.
So help me understand the definition of the word development. I think that's the key.
It's not just once, more and more by conditions. Like right understanding develops from hearing, considering and understanding better and better from moment to moment. Because it's just only in a moment and then another moment, mm-hmm. it develops by this way.
So we talked about bhavana, which you may translate or someone may translate as meditation, but we agreed it's mental development.
Cultivation,
For any mental development, cultivation, it needs understanding. So whether it's
samatha or any or vipassana or any kind of bhavana, there has to be understanding from the very beginning. So the difference between metta arising just naturally by accumulation, even for those who've never heard the Buddha's teachings, and metta being developed, the difference is understanding, beginning with understanding the characteristic of metta at this moment, because there is no other moment. So that's the question, is there metta now, and is it known now? Because if it's not known now, why wait for another time?
Okay, so person A has never experienced the Buddha's teaching, and person B has. Person A experiences metta. Metta accumulates, but there is no understanding, there is no panya that examines and understands the characteristics of metta, either the general characteristics or the specific characteristics of metta. This is person A. Person B, metta arises. This person has studied the Buddha's teaching or has understood pariyati patipati and is practicing the Buddha's teaching. And metta, when it arises, panya is also applied, is applied in this case. And as I wrote down, panya conditions detachment. So without an idea of a self that is having metta, there is this metta and a understanding of the nature of metta, the characteristics of metta, through understanding. What you are saying is that person A is, if I understand correctly, A is accumulating, B is both accumulating and developing metta. Have I understood correctly?
I really believe that you are sincere, but all these questions that are asked to you, can there be metta now? Do you understand the characteristic of metta now? This is aimed to show that it is only a Dhamma, and that is a real difficult point, because we may not notice that we think of I have metta, even we don't think I have metta, but still there is some idea of that we ourselves, that we can accumulate or can develop, and that is why so many questions are asked from you.
The panya that enables the development of metta is not the panya of the development of insight or satipatthana, because there are different kinds of panya. So the panya that enables the development of samatha generally does not see the characteristic of realities. It understands the benefit of kusala and the disadvantage of akusala.
What's the point of developing metta?
Very difficult question, because there is a sense of obligation that this is the right thing to do. It's not that I want to develop metta to or so that. It's, and I can only speak personally, because I know that there are other people who say, I want to develop metta because of this or that, because I'm to de-stress or whatever, or to reduce my anger. No. For me, more personally, it is, there is a very strong feeling of, this is what should be done, this is the right thing to do. So this is the compass, it's pointing me to this direction. That is what is that is the motivation behind metta. It's not metta is to do something or to obtain something. It's pushing, not pulling, if that makes sense.
Can you control, or can you have it arise at will?
No. So it arises naturally. It arises naturally.
No conditions.
No, there are conditions. There must be conditions.
What are the conditions?
If I were to try and put one of the conditions. I'd have to go back to our good friend, Natural Decisive Support. Perhaps in a previous life, there was a lot of metta.
So you mean that it's the good thing that should be developed?
It is a good thing that should be developed.
Anytime.
Anytime.
Not in the alone in a room.
Not just alone in a room, but alone in a room can also be developed.
By? How to do?
It needs a suitable object, so a need to think about...
The object of metta.
Yeah, needs a suitable object of
metta. So, where is that? In a room. Developing metta.
I'm in a room, or I am sitting here, an object of metta. An object can arise of...
What object of metta?
What is the object of metta? A person that...
So?
I'm thinking of my son, my wife, or the mm-hmm. people here.
With metta.
With metta.
And when you meet that person... Is there metta?
It happens naturally. Yes, there is metta.
All the time?
No. Sometimes I get angry.
By conditions?
Yes, by conditions.
So, is it the result of try to practice metta alone in the room or somewhere when you don't see that person? For example, at moment of seeing your son mm-hmm. and at moment when you don't see your son, mm-hmm. you've developed metta mm-hmm. to your son mm-hmm. at moment you think about him with kindness mm-hmm. and when you see him, is there any difference between attachment and metta?
Whether I see him or don't see him, there can still be attachment.
Not metta,
either one. I mean, there could be...
By situation or by thinking?
Oh, by situation. Other conditions.
So at moment when you just think of him, not seeing him,
right.
you have metta.
Or attachment.
So Panya has to know.
Without Panya, cannot know whether it is metta or attachment. Mm.
Otherwise, there cannot be the development of metta.
Because back to your person A,
person B, when you mentioned the person A has metta and accumulates metta, but you could say there is attachment and accumulating attachment because it's the near enemy, but without any understanding, nothing is known, because any kind of kusala, akusala factor is being accumulated. So it by being accumulated, it just means that the attachment now accumulates, is a condition for more attachment in future. Yes, if there's metta now, it's a condition for more metta in future, but there's nothing known about whether there is any metta or not, because usually a lot of akusala is taken for kusala in a day. Just like when people go to the temple, they assume it's just lots of generosity, but as we know, attachment is far more common, so the attachment is actually accumulating much more than the metta is accumulating. Right. And with regard to the what you call the person B, you say the person B is practicing this or that, but actually no one who is practicing anything. We're just talking about the arising of different dharmas by conditions.
So
the Buddha, the person who's heard the Buddha's teaching is practicing. He mentioned, because I wrote it down, is practicing. But actually, it is the understanding, the hearing about dharmas, the understanding of dharmas, but there's no one to practice. There's no practice involved at all. There's no method, no practice. It's just about, like now, understanding what is metta, what is attachment.
Okay, so but the person A
And also, it's not, you mentioned that understanding is applied. It's not understanding that is applied. It's not something that is done at all. So by hearing about seeing now, what is seen now, the characteristic of metta, is a condition for understanding to arise and develop. Considering more about the characteristic of metta, how it's different from attachment, is a condition for metta to develop, but not by someone practicing it, not by applying anything.
Okay. So person A, metta arises, and so therefore it accumulates.
If and when it arises.
If and when it arises. I agree with you that there's a risk of, and a very high risk, and maybe even a high probability of attachment arising at the same, not at the same time, but attachment arising. But let's say that person A is just metta arising. Person B has metta arising with understanding at the same time. Okay, so I'm being very careful on my words to make sure that I don't. So person A, metta arises. Person B, metta and understanding arise together. Person A, and we're going to take attachment off the table because it's a risk all the time, acknowledged, but we're just comparing A and B. So in A, metta will accumulate because it has arisen, and that is a condition for further accumulation. In B, metta will accumulate, but also will develop. Have I understood correctly? Because I'm trying to get to a better understanding of the difference between the word development and accumulate. How does the concomitant arising of understanding make that make a difference to change from simple accumulation to accumulation and development?
Because it sees the value in metta, in kusala.
Okay, so the panya element, the panya sees the value in the kusala.
That is arising.
That is arising at the moment. And so therefore...
And more, even more so, it understands
what metta is and when it arises. Otherwise, someone may think that when they're sitting in the quiet room thinking about their family and friends and relatives, they may think there's a lot of metta when actually it may just be a lot of
attachment
and ignorance. So the point is without a wrong view, because there's an idea of someone practicing or in order to have metta. So the point is that without very clear understanding of what the nature of metta is, what the nature of attachment is, there is bound to be taking what is attachment for metta. So without understanding, someone may think there's a lot of accumulation of metta when really it's just a lot of accumulation of attachment. There's no knowing.
Ajahn, would you speak to the quality of metta?
Kindness. Friendliness.
How does that manifest itself?
At moment of seeing someone or anybody. Snake, dog, bird, any living being.
Does it have to manifest? Does it have to condition any action or reaction?
Not necessarily, no.
So it can just be the mental state. But if you like to say, can manifest as not no fear of the person, because the person is seen as a friend and not an enemy.
At the moment of being friendly, ready to help at any situation. Doesn't do any harm at all.
like when one's with people, not...
It can manifest differently in different people because someone may be more outgoing and inclined to actually demonstrate friendliness, whereas another person may be choi-choi in their manner, but doesn't mean they can't be metta.
Not being enemy.
Tiny Tom, you were having a little conversation about metta while Ajahn was having the massage. Would you like to give a little summary of your chat? Because I've just heard the last sentence or two about your question and her response.
At that time, I was wonder about metta and attachment, because sometimes we can think that we have metta to parents or parents to children. There can be metta, but also there can be attachment. It's very difficult to sometimes to distinguish between the two, because if it is really metta, why only from parents to their children, but not to other children around? And it is hard to know.
Usually if it's to my children in particular, rather than anyone one comes across, one can be sure it's attachment rather than metta at those times, because it has to be this one, not the one that one's with. Mm. Or.
But we cannot deny there can be metta from parents to children.
But it's Panya which knows that very moment whether it's attachment or metta. Very close.
The moment of metta arise, can it arise with understanding?
Not necessary.
But is it possible that metta arise?
Panya can understand anything.
Well, it could be just immediately after. It could be just afterwards, recognizing the characteristic, and if one's helping the family member, but there's some expectation or some disappointment if it doesn't work out, then one knows it's attachment. Because when it's just kindness or friendliness, there's no expectation with it or no disappointment when it's the effect is not as we'd like it.
If you say whether there's a disappointment after that, but is it like a measure to know the previous one is metta or not? Because I think for the previous moment, it may be metta, and after that can be disappointed. But it's a two difference.
But metta doesn't bring disappointment, whereas attachment brings disappointment. Like one gives a gift with attachment and the person doesn't appreciate it, it's because of the attachment. But when it's just friendliness helping, then metta doesn't bring any sadness or disappointment at all. But it's true that different dharmas may be moments of metta, moments of attachment, moments of disappointment,
yes.
Intermingled, different moments. So that's why it's only Panya that can know. But I'm not sure that if one's in a, like you describe, if one's in a quiet room and one's just thinking or focusing on people and as object, whether there's really any understanding of metta at those times, whether one knows it's metta or not.
The question I'd like to ask is, what is the difference between metta in a quiet room and metta when being with people? So what would make the difference?
My experience in meditation retreats is that for the first 2 or 3 days, the mind is just too caught up in the business and relationships and stuff like that. It takes time for the mind to settle down. And
is there attachment then?
When the mind has settled down?
Would like the mind to be settled down.
No. The mind settles down naturally. Not because I'm saying, I need to settle. If there is the thinking, I need to settle.
But at the moment when it's settled down, is there any attachment?
Doesn't have to be. Can be. It depends on the moment.
So what knows?
Panya will know whether there's attachment. Yeah. So most of the time, if I'm driving along, there's no panya. If I am having a conversation, speaking, or eating, most of the time, no panya, because the mind
should
is just...
Should it be? Should it be? Should there be?
Should there be? It's not for me to say. It arises naturally.
But there must be conditions for anything to arise.
Yes, and so...
Without conditions, even one just like to have it, it's impossible.
Correct. And so after 2 or 3 days on the meditation retreat, the mind settles.
What condition? It.
If I am constantly having business discussions and so on, the mind is reminded all the time about these conversations.
But when it's right conversation, it can condition right understanding.
Yes. Unfortunately, at the office, that doesn't happen too often. Always tied up in things that do not involve...
Can Panya know that moment as it is?
It
when
can.
It develops.
It can develop when it's around. It's
and when
possible.
It will develop.
In the quiet room, it has a better chance of taking seed.
Can't you say that Ispanya is limited in a quiet room?
No, of course not.
So why not now?
Because... The level of difficulty, I would love it to be every moment to be having Panya, to be having Metta, but so much happening.
What actually conditions Panya to arise in what you describe as a quiet situation when the mind is settled and not at some other time?
When there are the what conditions it is that for the first 3 days, when there is less panya, because the mind is still caught up in worldly affairs.
Is that less panya? Or no panya?
Please give me the benefit of the doubt and just say less, a little bit of panya. And then when finally the garbage gets cleaned out.
By
time. It just takes time for the mind
Not
to clean
time,
up the garbage.
That must be reality.
The non-reoccurrence of all of these distractions and phone calls and emails
that
and so on.
That is what you like.
Yes.
Not panya. Certainly.
Isn't there an assumption that panya will know Kusala more than Akusala?
No. Didn't go there.
But isn't there an underlying assumption? But because you say all along that it's after settling down and having time to... So what about all the garbage that's going on in the meantime? Can't Panya understand that?
I'd love it to. When Panya is so strong... If Panya is strong, that would be wonderful. But Panya...
And attachment can be attached to anything, even Panya.
Okay. Help me understand that. Attachment to Panya. Help me understand that.
Right. For me, my Panya.
Oh, the idea of a self having Panya?
Certainly, as long as it's there.
That's very important.
Yeah. Okay, so... That is attachment to self. It's not attachment to Panya per se.
But Panya for self, for oneself, again.
Okay. It's attachment to Panya for oneself. Yes, right. That's attachment to the self, the view of self,
Panya.
To have Panya. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So, again, the purpose of the clearing up the garbage is it's the right thing to do in a quiet room.
I'd like to clear it now. Not in the quiet room. No, not wait until then.
I mean, I need to deal with my emails. I need to drive. I need to eat.
Yeah,
I need to have conversations.
That can be object of right understanding, Buddha said.
And it should be. It's just so distracting. So many objects attacking that it is more challenging. And for an arahat, it will be.
Before coming as sotapanna, there must be more understanding.
Yes, yes. I was taking to the extreme. Before coming as sotapanna, there must be much more understanding of the present moment.
And that's the point. To understand whatever appears then. Our realities.
Yes.
Okay. Beginning from having firm foundation, understanding. This can be object of understanding, anything, anytime, by conditions. By the development, little by little, from intellectual understanding to condition the direct understanding of a reality, only one at a time.
So
why not?
It needs to apply not in the room, not in the quiet room. It needs to apply in daily life.
Who apply?
Panya needs to apply.
Panya.
Arise.
Apply. Okay, arise. Panya needs to arise.
By conditions too.
By conditions.
Without hearing, considering.
Yeah. Without effort, without a self trying to become to apply it.
Yeah.
Without a self practicing.
Practicing.
Or
it needs to apply naturally.
Or doing anything.
Just a quick comment. The panya that knows gusala if and when it arises, and the panya that knows agusala if and when it arises, is the same panya.
Same panya.
Yeah. So whether the present moment is gusala or agusala, if the panya has been developed, it can arise.
Yes, absolutely. If the panya has been developed. Now, what are the conditions for this panya to develop? Previous panya.
Yes.
Previous panya.
Previous moment is previous panya.
Previous moment.
Is previous panya.
1 minute ago, 1 hour ago,
all of
these previous panyas are conditions for,
so it has been developed to a greater or lesser degree.
To a greater or lesser degree, it has been, panya will be, has been developed to a greater or lesser degree.
Mm-hmm. Now also, as I just said, by listening and hearing the Dhamma, that's another condition.
Listening and reflecting upon the Dhamma is another condition for panya to arise. Yes. Now, in a quiet room when all the garbage has been cleared.
There is you.
Garbage or no garbage.
In a room.
It's like you're trying to create conditions. I think when you set out to do something, you are trying to, there's a self trying to create the conditions. And that's not possible.
And what we're suggesting is that when, like you mentioned in the van, that, can I just borrow it for a second? When you mentioned in the van to me that the purpose of going on retreats or going in the quiet room is because there's less attachment and more seclusion. But what we're suggesting is instead of there being less attachment, it's actually more attachment because it's trying to create particular conditions and one likes that situation.
I can understand how the thought can arise is, I'm going to go there so that panya, I'm in a great suitable environment for panya to arise. Then you're craving panya, and you get craving, you don't get panya. Again, I can only speak personally. The reason I go is a sense of it's the right thing to do, and
a wrong thing. With the idea of self, it cannot be right.
It's not to achieve an objective. The reason that I sit in a quiet room is not to achieve an objective. It is a sense of obligation. It's the right thing to do. And when that happens, naturally, the garbage is cleared. Naturally,
but
there is awareness.
The ignorance is there.
And there
attachment
can be
is there.
Awareness of the attachment, awareness of the ignorance. Normally, that ignorance and attachment is there and is playing its games in the background and manipulating things. But in a quiet room, it is more obvious, naturally more obvious.
May I ask what is obvious?
The actions of the defilements becomes more obvious.
What kind of defilement?
Attachment, ignorance.
To what?
To whatever objects are arising.
What's there particularly?
It
one
could
by
be
one moment.
Okay, I'll give you an example. Somebody outside the meditation hall is speaking. There is a, what are they talking about? That's attachment. Or there is a, hey, don't they know this is a meditation hall? They shouldn't be speaking. There's aversion. And because of the opportunity of having cleared out the garbage, rather than getting caught up in that and spinning in that, there is awareness of, attachment, aversion has just arisen.
Who knows that?
I know who, it's just awareness. There is the understanding that is the mind becomes more transparent at that time, and there is greater understanding of, you can see the magician playing its games of trying to manipulate the mind. And whereas when I'm in a business meeting, the mind is just so busy dealing with commercial terms and other issues in the business meeting that...
Excuse me, yes. If there is no understanding of that reality, can there be the eradication of the idea of self?
In which case? The business meeting or in the... Okay, in general, no. There can never be a... Once there is a, as you said, panya conditions detachment from self. And
wrong understanding too.
From wrong understanding as well.
Wrong practice.
Wrong practice, yes. Yeah. So if I go in there with an intention to develop, if I go in there with an intention to achieve jhana, if I go in there with an intention to experience those bright lights or whatever it was, if there's that intention, that's a wrong practice.
Is there no intention to go?
Is there no intention to go?
To meditation center.
Yes, there is an intention
there
to
is,
go. Of course there has to be.
There is intention to
yes.
go.
Yes, yes.
It doesn't mean that no intention to go.
There is intention to go. Everything has to have a chanda, you know, the motivation behind it. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's... And again, I'm speaking from my point of view, my experience, or from me, it's a duty and obligation not to achieve an objective. Achieving an objective, wrong practice. The awareness, when there is understanding, and there can be understanding while in that business meeting as well.
Understanding, you mean?
There can be. There can be.
By conditions.
By conditions.
When there's not enough condition, there'd never be awareness and understanding.
Yes.
So how can there be the conditions for right awareness to arise?
again, previous conditions, because I just came out of a retreat.
This moment.
This moment is conditioned by the previous moment, 1 minute ago, an hour ago, many hours ago. Each of those condition. The more panya that has arisen in each of those previous moments, and as you've said, the reflecting upon, studying and reflecting upon the Dhamma as well, as a condition for panya, the more of this that there is, the more conditions there are in
so
every moment.
So we study Dhamma in order to have less attachment to the idea of self?
No, it's not.
So that
the
is
reason.
Not the point of studying, or it is the point.
What is the point of studying?
What is the point of studying the Dhamma? I'm sorry, it's difficult for me to articulate because it comes back to, I sense it's the right thing to do. I remember my first time I attended.
Hearing, studying, considering.
Yeah.
What is the goal in studying Dhamma?
I don't see it as having a goal. I don't see a purpose or a goal. It's an obligation.
Whose?
That I just feel that I should do it.
So there is the idea of self I need.
There is an obligation, a
my
responsibility.
Obligation.
Conditions.
There is obligation. There is obligation, there is responsibility. These are the conditions. These are the conditions.
What Dhamma would that be?
What that obligation. Chanda. It can be either one. It can be either.
Yeah, chanda can arise with akusala as
or,
well.
That's right. Akusala or kusala. It could be either one. There is a strong.
Why do we study the teachings of the Buddha?
Again, hard to articulate other than I feel it's the right thing to do. There is this sense of obligation,
the right
of duty.
Thing to study or the right thing to do?
The first time that I attended an Abhidhamma class, the teacher was halfway through Bhikkhu Bodhi's book. I walked in completely fresh. After an hour and a half, I walked out and said, I have absolutely no idea what they were talking about, but I want to go back. There was a sense of, I want to go back. There was a sense of, this is the right thing. There was a sense of, that is where I want to understand that better.
Do you know why?
Okay, well, and this is the same kind of sense of why there is this obligation to meditate.
Why do you think that it's the right thing to go back?
From the previous life, I must have accumulated some attachment to or been involved with.
It's quite thing new that you haven't heard before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so very beneficial. Because before listening to the teachings, no idea or no understanding about whatever appears at all. Is that your purpose? To really understand what is now appearing that you cannot find from the others at all?
Actually, at that first class, that's not what they were talking about. They were talking about some other part of the,
but
some other
have
chapter.
Accumulation to condition
yes.
The idea of going back.
Yes, yes.
There is the interest to
but
understand.
There was the interest to understand
yeah, but
more.
But there must be condition.
Yes, there were conditions and.
To understand of what? Or to get something for you.
It is not, there's no goal. It is a responsibility.
And, or interest. Chanda, you said. Interest.
Yeah, Chanda, interest.
Are you more interested in developing metta or in developing understanding of present reality?
Both are very important. I'm not going to say, do I like this kusala or that kusala? Both are very important. Both are important.
What about having great metta but no understanding of reality at all?
Why do I have to choose? Why can't there be some and?
No, what one has to think about what's the best. You get what you think.
You're posing this as a choice of either or?
Just consider whether it is attachment or panya, which consider, not you. The answer is from ignorance, attachment, or right understanding.
If there is understanding, then the mind, then the mental state is kusala. What is motivating? It is difficult to tell.
Panya can tell. Panya can.
John talked earlier about different levels of panya, the vipassana type panya that goes directly into the objects, I mean the characteristics and so on. Then the lighter form of panya that just knows what is beneficial, what is not beneficial.
Panya light.
Panya light. the motivation, the being aware that there is metta right now does not give me the insights to understand what were the triggers of it and the conditions which caused it. It's a panya light that just says, okay, there is metta now, or there is a certain mental, there are mental factors now. This mental factor is prominent now. So when you ask, when you say panya knows the causes, not always. I mean, sometimes panya just is superficial or light, as John.
But it knows.
It knows.
It understands.
It understands that this is metta or.
Can we say that it understands that only metta is not enough? Comparing to right understanding.
If I understand what you are asking is that is the metta light sufficient, or should there also be, is it better to have the deeper metta?
What would you like to develop, metta or right understanding?
Both are important. Both metta is important and right
because
understanding.
Because you see that even akusala understanding can understand it. Anything right now.
Understanding of akusala is all, anything that arises can be understood.
As the self. As a reality, different reality.
As a reality, right? Yes. Everything that arises can be understood.
Yeah.
Akusala, kusala, both.
Yeah. It's not only just words. It's the moment of developing more and more until what the confidence of satya is there. Satyayana. Without satyayana, there cannot be kichayana. No katayana. No pariyati, no patipatti, no pativeda. the other can teach about metta or the development of metta, but cannot teach about reality. Only Buddha can teach anyone to have panya to see that actually there's no self at all. Only very temporary. It's from nothing to something and then nothing again. And panya can see this, and it's panya which knows that this is not enough. There should be more development of panya from hearing, considering continuously as much as possible by conditions. Otherwise, one was born and dies without understanding reality right now at all. Yesterday, we didn't know what today will be, right? And tomorrow, who knows? Only thinking about tomorrow, but who knows what tomorrow will be? So it's time to develop right understanding at this moment, as much as possible, to understand that panya is the best of all conditioned reality, because it can be accumulated to condition more hearing, considering, understanding. And to know who's Buddha from his teachings, from understanding his teachings only.
I need time to reflect upon these things that you've been sharing. I greatly appreciate your efforts.
I have metta. Ready to help. At any time. Yeah.